Some of you may know Barbie Coth. I call her Barbie. You call her Barb, maybe. She is my sister, and it's good to be here again and to be with you. There are times when I prepare a message that once I get into it, the Lord leads me in a certain direction to, okay, this is where I want to center my focus. And I get into it, and I realize, Lord, this is way over who I am. And I feel it very inadequate to present this message, but this is from the Lord. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this morning. And Lord, so often as we are here as your representatives, Lord, we come up short and we are inadequate. And yet you have chosen, Lord, to speak to your people through your word, through the Holy Spirit, through men who and women who take your word and that message and present it and preach it to others. Lord, there are times in our lives where, especially where I feel inadequate, and yet, Lord, you have a message from your heart to us. And I pray this morning, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts. I pray that you would open the eyes of our hearts so that we might be able to see you and to hear you. May your Holy Spirit be able to speak to us in a way that is fresh and real and new. And I pray, Lord, that I would be true and accurate to the message that you have, and that I would not be in the way of what you want to say to each one here. And Lord, I ask that the noise and the commotion of the world around us and the busyness of life, Lord, may we be able to set that aside for a few moments so that we could hear your Holy Spirit speak to us. And Lord, may we use this time to draw close to you. I thank you, Lord, for the music and the worship that it's been. And now as we worship you, Lord, through your word and through the message, I pray that you would be lifted up in our hearts and in our minds and in our lives. May the world around us know that you are God. We pray this in your name. Amen. I want you to think this morning of someone that you know very well. You have a good, close relationship with them. Or maybe you're not real close, but you kind of know them. And one day, as you're, interacting with one another, you see something that's different in their lives. Maybe a seriousness or a quietness or something's going on. Something's off. What is your response to that? My response is, what's going on? Is there something in your, speak to me, talk to me. What's going on in your life? Are you with me? You see what I'm saying? And you don't want them just to give you an answer, oh, I'm fine. Everything's okay. No. You want to go deeper. And you want to hear what's in your heart. What really is going on? Because I see something you have something that's heavy and that you want to say. And you kind of set the stage and then you're able to communicate and whatever that is, they share that with you. Or maybe you're the one with the heavy heart and you want to share it with someone else. And you're just waiting for that opportunity to share that. In a real sense this morning, I want you to think about God. What's in His heart? Does God have something he wants to say to you? Is there a quietness? Is there a soberness that he has something heavy on his heart and he wants to speak it to you? I would challenge you in the next few minutes as we look into God's Word to say, what's going on, God? What's on your heart? And let him open up his heart and speak to you in a deeper way. We're not just talking about the weather. We're not just talking about the price of corn. We're not just, you know, it goes deeper than that. What does God want to say to you this morning? And if you're hearing me, doesn't matter if you're 6 years old or 106 years old, I truly believe that God has a message for each one of us here in this room here today. Are you with me? You agree with me? Are you ready to hear what God has to say? Well, in the scriptures, there are many, many passages where God opens up his heart to us. And I believe that Isaiah chapter 40 is one of those passages where we get to look a little deeper into who God is. What's he all about? And so as I was studying this passage, and as I said earlier, the deeper I got into this passage, oh my, it's loaded. How much time do we have? Can we be here all afternoon? No, we won't be here all afternoon. There is so much here, and there is so much we won't be able to cover, okay? But I want to just whet your appetite to say, I want to know what God's heart is all about. And so I would ask that just right now that you would make a silent prayer and say, Jesus, speak to me. So Isaiah 40, we find it in the book of Isaiah. Isaiah was a prophet in the Old Testament. And it's really, the book is kind of separated into two parts. Chapters 1 through 39 really was Israel, and I won't get all the details here. I'm not going to expound on all of this, but Israel was really under a time of King Hezekiah, who was a good king, and Isaiah was able to preach, and they were, it was before their captivity, time of captivity, time of trouble. And then Isaiah 40 through 66, that part of the book is later in Isaiah's life, and Isaiah is giving different predictions and warnings and promises about the captivity that was coming into their lives and the trouble that was coming into their lives, and also the promises of the Messiah and of the coming salvation that was coming to Israel after this time of captivity. And chapter 40 is the beginning chapter of the second section. And Isaiah opens up to us the heart of God. And as we look into this chapter, there are three things that I want to point out that God's heart has for us. The first thing is that God wants us to know him. From the very heart of God, he wants us to know him. If you have your Bibles, and I hope you do this morning, there are, I've looked at from verses 1 through 26, and I've pulled out 9 different characteristics about who God is. Who is he? You know, what's he all about? What's he like? What are some characteristics of who God is? These are 9 that I chose. There's more in here, okay? And so if you're studying, and I challenge you to study this passage, just take time and read through this passage and see what the characteristics of God, what they are. And the first characteristic of God is right there in verse 1. Comfort, comfort, my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry for her. What is that picture of? Comfort. God is a God of empathy and comfort. He cares for you. In the very beginning of this passage, Isaiah is pointing that out. God cares for you. Wow. In the midst of all that's going on in this world, God cares for you. Comfort, comfort, says the Lord. And he wants the preacher to speak tenderly to his people. How many of you have heard messages and sermons where the preacher is just coming down hard on you? And maybe that's okay. Maybe that's necessary at the time that you need correction. But God's heart wants to bring that correction in a tender way. Secondly, we see from verses 3 through 7, he says, a voice cries in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for your God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry. And I said, what shall I cry? All flesh is, let me just stop there. But the picture is, we have a God who communicates and reveals himself to us. He's telling the preacher here to cry out to the children of Israel, to the nation, and reveal something to him that I will, this message that I will give you. God wants to communicate to you. God wants to reveal himself to you. Wow. He doesn't hide himself away. He is a God who wants to have a relationship and communicate with you. A voice cries. Another thing, and we find it, another characteristic, we find it in verse 8. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. You know, this world is so temporary. Have you noticed that? I'm older now. I'm not old. Okay. Don't put that on me. Okay. I'm not old. Do I look old? Okay. Nah. Yeah. But I've seen enough of life to know that everything that we look at, it's temporary. There's everything we look at, whether it be nations or presidents or leaders or whatever it is. You know, you buy a brand new car, how quickly does it become an old junker? Just everything is temporary. The grass withers and the flower fades away. But the word of our God will stand forever. God is eternal. God is eternal. Think about that. My mind can't get a hold of that. What is eternal? Never fade away. The word of God will never pass. It is eternal. It is something I can grab onto and know that it will be here this afternoon and tomorrow and next week, whether I'm on the mountaintop or in the valley. God's word is eternal. The fourth thing, let's look in verse 10. Behold, the Lord God comes with might, and his arm rules for him. What kind of a God is God? He's a powerful God. He comes with might, and with his arm he will rule. There's no one who can stand against him. There's no problem that's too big for him. God comes with might. He's a powerful God. Have you considered that? What is the most powerful thing that you can imagine here on this earth that man has created? Maybe the atomic bomb. I don't know. Is there anything greater, more powerful than the atomic bomb? For those who remember what took place at the end of the Second World War, it ended, that world war ended because two bombs were dropped in one location in Japan. Powerful. But it's nothing compared to the power of God. And so then we see also in verse 10, he says, behold, his reward is with him and his recompense before him. What is that? God is a God of judgment. He rewards those who do good, and he recompenses those who don't. God is a God of judgment. Another characteristic that Isaiah is pointing out here. Verse 11. Oh, I love this verse. In fact, I think I preached the whole sermon. I think you could preach five sermons on this verse and not even scratch the surface. Look at verse 11. He will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom and gently lead those that are with young. What kind of a God is God? He's a compassionate shepherd. God is a compassionate shepherd. He tends his flock, the daily needs that the flock has. And by the way, the flock is a term for everyone. Everyone that is under God's care in his flock is important. And God will tend to the daily needs of his flock. And it gathers the lambs in his arms. I better not preach this message on this verse, but he gathers the lambs in his arms. The lambs, the newborns, the young that are growing. Why does he gather them together? Because newborns tend to scatter. And God wants to gather them together and carry them close to his heart, to his bosom. And then he will gently lead those that have young. God is a compassionate shepherd. God is a caring shepherd. Are you getting some of the picture, the characteristics of the majesty of who God is? And Isaiah is just going down the list here. There's more. Verse 12. Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand and marked off the heavens with a span, enclosed the dust of the earth in a measure and weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance? Who has measured the Spirit of the Lord? What is this saying? God is all-knowing. He knows how much water is on this earth. And it says, has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand. Can you imagine if you were tasked to measure the oceans and the lakes and the rivers and the streams and come up with a number of how many gallons of water there are on this earth? God has it in the hollow of his hands. He knows. God knows that. And not only that, it says, or marked off the heavens with a span. What is a span? I didn't know. I had to look it up. Okay? A span is the distance of, is the width of a hand. About 9 inches. So when I was studying this week, I turned around on my desk and I grabbed a ruler and I put it on my hand. You know what my hand measures? 9 1/8 inch. I'm a little above average, okay? 9 inches. He's measured the heavens with the span. He knows how many spans the heavens are. That blows my mind. What number would that be? I don't know. God knows. He's all-knowing. Look in verse 13, the second half of verse 13. Or what man shows him counsel? Whom did he consult and who made him understand? What is that referring to? I believe that means that God is a God of wisdom. Who does God go to get counsel? No one. God doesn't need counsel from anyone. He has all wisdom. And then a little larger section is verses 15 through 25. I won't read all of that, but this is a section where it shows that he's incomparable. Look at verse 18. To whom then will you liken God, or what likeness compare with him? Verse 21. Do you not know? Do you not hear? Has it not been told to you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he who sits on the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them like a tent to dwell in. Who brings princes to nothing and makes rulers of the earth as emptiness? Scarcely are they planted, scarcely sown, scarcely has their stem taken root in the earth. When he blows on them and they wither, and the tempest carries them off like stubble, to whom then will you compare me that I should be like him, says the Holy One? There is no one who we can put our hands on that compares to who God is. Now, I love what Isaiah has done here in these first 26 verses. He has given us a picture of the majesty, the awesomeness of God. And by the way, it's appropriate to use the term awesome when you're talking about God. I have a new motorcycle. I've often said, oh, it's awesome. No, it's not. God is awesome. God is awesome. You got a little picture of it? He's a God who is a God of comfort and empathy. He is a God who communicates and reveals himself. He's a God who is eternal, who is all-powerful. He is a God of judgment. He is a God who is a compassionate shepherd. He is a God who is all-knowing. He is a God who has all wisdom. He is a God who is incomparable to anything we can imagine. Wow! Do I hear an amen? I come from a Baptist church. It's okay. Amen. God is awesome. And so, from the heart, from what Isaiah is writing to us here, I gather that the heart of God, he wants us to know him. Do you know God? Have you taken time to compare God to your circumstances, to your situation? Where does that measure out? Oh, God is awesome. So, who is God? Look back to verse 9. Go up on a mountain, O Zion, herald of good news. Lift up your voice with strength, O Jerusalem, herald of good news. Lift it up, fear not, say to the cities, behold your God. And I'd like to stand before you this morning and say to you, behold your God. Take time this week, today, this afternoon, and behold who God is. Look to him and say, who are you? You are magnificent. You are awesome. You are incredible. You are, and how do you get words to describe that? Take time to focus in on who God is. Because God wants you to know him. Otherwise, why would he have put all this here? God had Isaiah say, and he told Isaiah, to get the preacher to cry out to the cities of Jerusalem. And Isaiah said, what should I cry? And this is it. I've just done it for you. I've just cried out to behold your God. And so today, if you want to see into the heart of God, God says, I want you to know me. And I've just scratched the surface. Every time I look in this, that's one thing that was so frustrating with this passage this week. Every time I would look into it, I'd see more and more and more. And I told my wife, I said, it's too much. There's more here than it can be preached. And there's more than what we can absorb. But my friend, behold him and absorb what you can today. And then tomorrow, absorb more. Behold your God. God's heart wants us to know him. Now, Isaiah takes a little turn. I'm going to move this down. It's in the way. Isaiah takes a little turn in what he's saying in verse 27. Read with me verse 27. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my right is disregarded by my God? Now, I really wrestled with this verse because it seems out of place from what Isaiah's been talking about. Because he's been looking into the heart of God and into the eyes of God and worshiping God with saying, this is who God is. And then he takes a turn and he comes back to Israel and he asks a question. Now, I think it's very appropriate for us to have this question asked of us. So rather than saying Jacob or Israel, put your name in that section, okay? Put your name right there, whether it's Bill or John or Patty or whatever your name is, put it here. Why do you say, O friend, and speak, O friend, my way is hidden from the Lord and my right is disregarded by my God? So Isaiah is turning to his reader, us, his listener, and asking us a question. Here he has just defined who God is. Now he's saying, he's looking into my heart and asking me a question. He's looking into your heart and asking you a question. And the question is, why do you say, my way is hidden from the Lord and my right is disregarded by God? What does that mean? My way is hidden from the Lord. What is that individual saying? What are you saying when you say, God doesn't see me? Is that right? Is that kind of what he's saying? God doesn't see my troubles. My troubles are too big for him. God doesn't care about me. My world isn't important to him. He has brushed me off. He's disregarded me. God is too busy for me. He just doesn't. Is that a fair reflection of this question? Have you ever asked that question? Have you ever had those thoughts in your mind where you've made that statement, God doesn't care about me? Or God never has seen the path that I'm walking on right now. This is too big for him. And Isaiah brings that question and he says, what is the heart of God? Or my question is what is the heart of God? Why does Isaiah bring this up here and now? Look in verse 28. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. Isaiah turns it right back to God. We get so focused on our own selves and our own problems and say, my way is too great and God doesn't see me. And Isaiah says, wait a minute. Remember what you've been taught. Remember what God has taught you in the past. Your relationship to Him in the past, He has always been faithful. And He points out three specific things here about who God is. Again, He is eternal. What does He say? The Lord is the everlasting God. Remember, God is eternal. And then He says, He is the creator of the ends of the earth. God knows your troubles. He is the creator of all things. How many of you have ever created anything? You know, I like to work in my workshop and do stuff. I really don't create anything. I just take some material and form it around and make something else. Okay? I really didn't create anything. Sometimes my mother used to tell me I created trouble, but that's different. Okay? But God is the creator. When we have that statement or that mindset or that thought saying, He doesn't see me, He doesn't care about me, Isaiah reminds us to remember that He is eternal, that He's a creator, and then He also says that He has unending strength. At the end of verse 28 there, He says, He does not faint or grow weary. He does not faint or grow weary. He has unending strength. I grow weary so quickly these days. But even when I was young, I had limits, could only go so far. But God never gets tired. He never grows weary. And then finally, His understanding is unsearchable. It's incomprehensible. We can't look into the understanding that God has and gain any kind of we can't comprehend the understanding and the wisdom that God has. And so what is God saying here? First off, I said God says from His heart, He wants us to know Him. And secondly here, from God's heart, He's saying, I want you to trust me. I want you to trust me. I am eternal, says the Lord. I am the creator of all things, says the Lord. My strength is unending, says the Lord. And my understanding is incomprehensible, says the Lord. Trust me. From the very heart of God, He is saying to you, trust me. The third thing that I want to bring out from God's heart comes in the next few verses. Let me read verse 29. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. When you're in the midst of trouble, what is one thing that you need? You need strength. How am I going to get through this? I'm just so tired of the fight. And you come to a place of depression or despondency where you just... But what does God say from His heart? He says... He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, He increases strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. From the heart of God to your heart, to my heart, He says, I will give you strength. I don't know you today. I don't know what you're struggling with. I don't know what's going on in your life. But maybe this is a message you need to hear right now. God says, I will give you strength. Do you know God? Do you trust Him? Are you ready to receive the strength that He will give you? By the way, who's going to receive this strength? Verse 31, it says, but to they who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. We sang that song earlier. Thank you for having that song. They who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. What does it mean to wait on the Lord? Have you ever considered that? What does it mean to wait on the Lord? Waiting is the hardest thing for me to do. I want to plan. I want to engage. I want to go forward. I want to get this thing done. We can fix this problem, whatever it is. And then I run out of strength. And then I say, God, give me strength. God says, they who wait on the Lord. What does it mean to wait on the Lord? Well, I found this definition. It's not mine, but I think it fits. Waiting on the Lord means this: actively trusting, hoping in, and expecting God to act accordingly to His timing and will. Actively trusting, hoping in, and expecting God to act according to His timing and His will. Okay? Waiting on the Lord. Rather than relying on my own effort. It's a proactive patience. Now that almost seems like an oxymoron. A proactive patience involving prayer and obedience while enduring. It implies a reliance on His strength, resulting in a renewed strength and spiritual stability. There's a lot there. But it was good. I thought I had to bring that. It implies a reliance on His strength, resulting in a renewed strength and spiritual stability. So looking into God's heart, what have we seen this morning? Number one, God's heart says, I want you to know me. Don't create God in our image. So often we do that. You've heard that phrase, well, my God would never do that. Well, probably not. But you're not talking about the God of the Bible. The God of the Bible, we need to know Him from what the Bible teaches us. And then the second thing is, do you trust Him? You know, God doesn't always give us all the details. What's coming next? What should we expect? God doesn't always give us those details. But remember, He is eternal. He's the Creator. He's all wise. His understanding is incomprehensible, and we can trust Him. Can you trust Him today? And thirdly, strength. Our strength comes from Him. He wants to give us strength. He wants to give you strength in the job that you have, in the family that you raise, in witnessing to your neighbor, in dealing with that medical issue, whatever that is. That you need strength to be found with integrity in your heart before the Lord and walk in a way that brings glory to His name. He will give you the strength. And not just in a shallow way, but Isaiah puts it in such a beautiful picture. He says, the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. How many of you have ever taken time to watch an eagle fly? Wow. I do that. I've seen, we have eagles in our areas, you know, around the river. And you watch and you say, oh, I wish I could fly like that. And God says, that's the kind of strength I will give you. They will run and not be weary. They will walk and not faint. My friend, do you know God? Maybe you're here this morning and you've never trusted Jesus as your Savior. I challenge you today, if everything I've said, you've said, oh, the pastor, he doesn't connect with me. My friend, God wants to know you And he has come with a message to you. And the Holy Spirit is speaking to your heart and saying, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The only way that we can really, truly know God and have a relationship with him is through Jesus. Jesus paid the price to cover the wages of my sin. He died on the cross in my place so that I can come before him and he will take my sin. And that then the cost or the wages or the price of my sin has been paid by him. He died on that cross. But he rose again on the third day and he's seated with the Father in heaven. His work is complete. All we need to do is trust him. Today, if you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, I challenge you to get alone and quiet with God and tell Jesus, Jesus, I want to know you. I trust you for paying the price for my sin. Now this message in the Isaiah here, we trust God as his people. And trusting God doesn't happen just once when we become born again, but it's a daily activity of walking with him and allowing him to give us strength. So, do you know God? Do you trust him? God wants to give you strength. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you are a God who has revealed himself to us. You didn't just create this world and give it a spin and stand back and fold your arms and wonder what would happen. Lord, you created us with a purpose and you have a plan and you're working your plan and it's right on schedule, Lord. And we can trust you. You are eternal. You are compassionate. You are the loving shepherd. You are all-knowing. You are all-powerful. Lord, you are awesome. Today, Lord, in this room, as we've taken time to look into your face and into your heart, and you've revealed yourself to us, Lord, in the process of that, we also have looked into our own hearts. And we have questions and doubts and we've believed lies from Satan, Lord. And I ask that we would set all of that aside and turn our attention back to you. Lord, if there's someone here today who needs to deal with sin, I pray that that would take place right away. If we confess our sins, you are faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Lord, I also ask that your Holy Spirit would continue to work in our lives to keep our focus on you. As we know you, as we trust you, Lord, give us the strength to be your children, to walk with integrity, to walk in a way that the world will see us, and through us they will see you. Lord, I pray for each one here this morning that this moment of you speaking to our hearts would continue this afternoon, this evening, tomorrow, next week, next year. Lord, may we never keep take our eyes off of you. And we pray all of this in the name of Jesus. Amen.